couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies, and I am back from the depths of something crazy, Kevin.
Okay, I know cleaning your bathroom's a tough deal, but...
also known as the hectic week of Fantastic Fest here in Austin.
Was it fantastic?
It was fantastic. It was a great experience, and I can't wait to talk a little bit more about it later.
Yes.
After we talk about some films, but it's starting to clear out here at Reject HQ. We had a full house of people and friends, and
so you had three queens and a jack,
something like that.
Three kings and three queens and two kings, whatever.
You know, you're
it would have been really funny if I would have nailed the joke.
Yeah, no, it would have been much funnier if you would have planned that joke in advance. But we have the house is starting to empty out here, and the festival is coming to a close, and it was a blast. We saw a lot of movies that I think you would like.
Yeah,
which I learned
what pink movies were too.
Yeah, a lot of weird crap happens. So yeah.
Wonderful.
Anyway, but before we get into all that, here's how you can get a hold of us. You can go over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can go to iTunes, just search Fat Guys at the Movies, and we come right up. You can email us, fatguysfilmschoolrejects.com, or leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. You can also get us on the new wonderful wide world of Twitter. You can get myself, twitter.com/rejects, and you can get Kevin at the very cleverly named twitter.com/KevinCarr.
Wow, you've been like...
what?
First of all, Twitter's not that new. You're like the new, this brand new thing.
It's very fandangled. It's new and fandangled.
It's not like Google World or whatever the hell that is.
Google Wave.
Wave.
Yeah, see?
But, which
you're already behind.
Oh, yeah, whatever. I know it has a W in it. And it's basically, hey, come infect my computer because I'm sure somebody's gonna find a way to exploit the complete overhaul of the computer.
Uh-huh.
So, anywho.
Nice.
Let's start talking about movies.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about? I'm excited about one of these in this first segment because I saw it here at Fantastic Fest or them. It's a pair of movies.
I was about to say there's like three, but it's technically two releases.
Right, three movies, two releases, all kinds of awesome.
Yes, but, and let's get started. You want to introduce it since you're the one who got
the first one we're going to talk about is Toy Story 1 and 2 in 3D, the epic double feature in which Disney and Pixar re-release two classic movies as a double feature re-rendered in 3D.
All right, let's go, everybody. Buzz? Unbelievable. Buzz?
This is incredible.
Buzz, where the heck are you?
Right here, Woody. You've got to see this.
What are you doing?
These glasses, they let you see into the third dimension.
What? Let me see that. Wow!
Here, let me show you.
This is like 3D.
Howdy, boys. I'm in 3D. Whoa.
Whoa. Ready to go, Woody.
3D.
Now, did you know, I learned a factoid this week about this release.
Oh, not an entire fact, just a factoid.
Just a factoid.
A fact that fell to Earth? Like
yes.
A meteor?
Yes. It is. The reason that they did this, the reason they went back and redid Toy Story 1 and 2 and re-rendered it in 3D is because the original rendering was not up to snuff for Blu-ray.
Oh,
and in order to release it on Blu-ray, they were going to have to go back and redo it anyway, so they were like, well, why not just go back and do it in 3D?
Well, I had heard that it was... I thought it was because they're doing part 3 in 3D and might as well get some...
Well, it just kind of all worked out. The stars aligned. And it's a little bit of magic went into it because I will tell you this. It is beautiful.
Do you notice the difference watching it back-to-back in digital projection? Do you notice the difference in the quality of animation from 1 to 2?
No, which is amazing.
Really?
Okay. They both look very... It's a very seamless transition from 1 to 2. They don't look very different at all. You can tell that Toy Story 1 has been touched up a lot because it looks amazing. It looks very, very similar to number 2.
They don't make Greedo shoot first or anything like
that. No. And they didn't change anything about the movies.
They didn't change the guns into walkie-talkies.
No, they didn't. The guy who, I forget his name, but he's the head of Pixar's 3D department was at Fantastic Fest to do a Q&A, and he said that their intention was not to change anything in the movie, and they did a wonderful job, and it's very clever. As you know, Pixar, it's all in the details of Pixar. So there's like this really cool intermission. There's a 10-minute intermission, and where they have like new footage from like cut scenes from the second movie, and trivia, which has the characters kind of talking over the trivia. It's very cool, very engaging. It's probably the first double feature I've ever seen that you could take your kids to, and they wouldn't be totally bored. You know, you wouldn't lose them at any point. It's a very fast experience.
How many double features have you seen?
A few.
Okay.
It's not long like Grindhouse was.
Well, you're not going to take your kids to Grindhouse.
I know you're not, but you know, I mean, people are very weary about taking their kids to see 3 hours of movies.
Nobody would say, "Oh, I'm
going
to take my 6-year-old to see Grindhouse." Oh, it was 3.5 hours. I better not.
You know, people are weary about taking their kids to see 3 or 4 hours of movies, and I don't think they should be worried about this one. It's a lot of fun.
Not me.
Because they're two fantastic movies. I say take them to the kids movies.
And bring the gags.
Yeah. The other thing I really liked about it was that, like so many great 3D movies that we've seen lately, they don't use 3D as a gimmick. They don't. They resist the urge to make anything pop out at you. And well,
they made the movies for 2D, so they, it's well, not yeah. like they suddenly like are going to, oh, poke you in the eye, poke
But it
you
looks
in the
great
eye.
Because it's all depth. Related,
yeah, well, that's why I like this new 3D. Well, I mean, there are some movies that are very gimmicky, but a lot of movies, even more recent ones that are released in 3D, aren't gimmicky. Like Coraline wasn't gimmicky.
Yeah. So I'm saying totally rocks on Toy Story double feature. I say take the kids.
Yes,
and you know what else is great about it? I was thinking about this when I was watching it.
They hand out beer.
Well, they hand out beer at the Giraffe House, anyways. But It's really great to be able to see these movies, you know, because it came out, the first one came out in 95, and I remember seeing it when I was, 11, 12, for the first time in theaters. It's great to be able to see that another generation is going to be able to see Toy Story for the first time on the big screen. So cool. I think that parents should really get out there with their kids and see this.
Yes. You're advocating parents spending time with children.
Yes, I'm advocating parents spending time with their children at the movies watching cartoons.
Good for you. Good for you. Well, let's move on to the next one. The Invention of Lying. Ricky Gervais directs this movie about a world where everyone tells the truth and he learns to lie to his own benefit.
I'm Mark. How are you?
A little frustrated at the moment. Also equally depressed and pessimistic about our date tonight. I'm with him right now. Seems nice. A bit fat.
She's way out of your league.
No, I won't be sleeping with him tonight.
Today, I stumbled upon something that no man has ever stumbled on before.
The world's first lie.
I said something that wasn't.
Huh?
I'm black.
I knew it.
I'm an Eskimo.
Fantastic.
I'm a one-armed German space explorer.
When's your launch date?
Preemptive suck. They didn't screen this for us. Did they screen it for you guys?
I don't know if they screened it for us or not. Everything got kind of lost with Fantastic Fest, so I have no idea if they have any intention of screening it in Austin.
They screened it in Cleveland, but not only was I not going to drive up to see it, but I would have had to miss a screening for another. There are all these conflicting screenings.
Yeah.
But this one, they didn't screen it in Columbus, so it gets a preemptive suck, even though I liked Ricky Gervais.
Right.
But what's weird about this is it's like 1,700 theaters. It's not a wide release. It's wide, but it's not hugely wide.
Right.
It's not like, you know, it's not a big, fat, ugly release. It's just sort of like a trim.
Right. So. Fair enough. Preemptive suck. Get it out of here. I might go see it, though, over the weekend. We'll see.
I don't have time.
If I feel like going back to the movie theater at all.
I got to see horror movies.
Nice. Anyway, with that, we'll be back in a minute. And we're back here on Fat Guys at the Movies, and we're rolling on through the huge slate of movies that we're talking about, I guess. This is probably the biggest show that we've had since the last big show that we had.
Well, the shows are all the same size. This just has more. And it's sort of like, you know, trying to put 2 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag. Or 5 pounds of crap in a 2-pound bag.
In a 2-pound bag?
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, moving on to a couple movies, two of which I have not seen, one of which I have seen. But the first one is Capitalism, A Love Story, in which, according to Kevin, Michael Moore wants America to be socialist.
How did this collapse happen?
I got home on a Friday. Everything was just fine. I called back after my plane landed in Indiana, and all of a sudden we've got this crisis on our hands.
It's
got to be some kind of a rebellion between the people that have nothing and the people that's got it all.
Everything was being handled by the Treasury Secretary from Goldman Sachs. They had Congress right where they wanted them. This was almost like an intelligence operation.
This is straight up capitalism. Boom.
Where's our money?
I don't know.
Okay, now let me address this. Where it says, where you're like, oh, according to Kevin. This is completely outside politics, your personal politics. The movie, his thesis in the movie is, gosh, remember when it was a 90% tax bracket for the rich that I'm not paying right now? Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to some priests, find out capitalism is evil. And at the end, I really think we should
I don't understand the priests thing, though.
Why Neither do I. Because he's Catholic?
I don't get it.
No,
I don't understand why priests get to decide whether capitalism is evil or not.
He talks to his priests. He literally goes and talks to his priests that he grew up with when, back in my hometown of Flint, Michigan. Which I sounded more like Eric Cartman.
That old racket.
Actually. Now, here's the thing. If you don't know me, just for your benefit, I'm not a big fan of Michael Moore. I think he's kind of a tool. And I don't necessarily agree with his politics. But all of that outside of it, this movie is... It kind of runs over a very similar road that we've seen. I mean, it opens up with people getting evicted. And I mean, it uses all these conventions that he used in Roger and Me and Sicko. And even Fahrenheit 9/11, so he kind of retreads his old bag of tricks. And the problem is, it's this big indictment of capitalism, but it's a bait and switch because... What are you doing? Are you laughing at me?
No, I'm sitting here waiting for your awesome review of this movie.
All right, it's kind of all over the map. He doesn't have a whole lot of focus to it, and he's kind of lost his comedic edge. I mean, there's some funny parts to it, but not like... You know, going back to like Roger and Me and The Big One, there were some very funny moments sort of biting cynicism. This one is just, I don't know, it just doesn't have the same creativity that his other movies had. Yeah. And it's kind of all over the map. I mean, it goes, you know, from, oh, Reagan did this, and then, and now we've got this bailout, and then, oh, Franklin Delano Roosevelt did the Second Bill of Rights, and... You know, Obama got elected. I mean, he like literally throws this thing in with Obama at the end of the movie that really makes no sense. It doesn't make any sort of connection to the rest of the movie. And then at the end, he's like, well, look at all these people that got screwed. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do a stunt. And he just goes and, you know, you remember the scene in Fahrenheit 9/11 when he went to go try and get congressmen to sign up their kids for...
Yeah,
That's like really all he does. He's like, oh, I'm gonna drive a armored truck down Wall Street and ask for money back. You're yawning again. Am I boring you?
Well, this whole discussion about Michael Moore is boring.
He is. That's the point. It is boring. It's not that good of a movie. It really isn't. And plus, the guy's the biggest freaking capitalist on the planet. I mean, this guy makes millions of dollars, and he's like, oh, it's bad to make money. The rich are terrible, except for me. People should pay a 90% tax bracket, except for me.
I guess the question is the movie in focus?
It is in focus. Sort of. Not all of it. Really, honestly, it's not that good. And here's another thing. I recently found this out. There's the little, teeny little thing where there's this fake commercial for Cleveland, the Board of Tourism.
Which is awesome, by the way.
Which is awesome.
I don't know how it ended up in that movie, because it's just awesome.
But here's what's the thing is. It's not Michael Moore who did that. It's some other guy who did it. And he just put it in his movie. But at no point does it say, hey, this is this other guy's work.
Oh.
It's kind of strung into the movie as if
Michael Moore made it?
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. There's no like little thing at the bottom that says parody. Maybe at the end credits. But it literally looks like he's the one who put this in. And that's where I'm like, okay, this is kind of his level of dishonesty and bait and switch on an artistic level. I'm not even talking politics at this point. That bothered me because it's a funny spot. But it's been around for years, and he just put it in his movie.
Right. It's a very funny thing about Cleveland. Yeah. You know what's funnier about that?
It's not Detroit.
It's true. It's really funny if you grew up in Cleveland.
So anyways, no, I have to say sucks. I just don't think it wasn't, It didn't have the same power. It didn't have the same polarizing power that Fahrenheit 9/11 did. It didn't have the same creativity and cleverness as something like Roger and Me did. I think he's kind of just burned out. And it's not his worst movie, because Slacker Uprising was his worst, most boring movie. But this mm-hmm. one, this one was very, this one had about as much, it had a little more thought than Slacker Uprising, but not much.
Right. So, I see. All right, well, I guess we'll just have to take your word for it, because I didn't see it. So. Yes,
socialist. Go on.
I fully support socialism.
Okay.
By the way. Yeah.
You do that.
Anyway, moving on. Next movie is Whip It. It's set in Austin. It's a coming of age story about a girl from a conservative Texas family who finds her true calling at the roller derby.
Out of all the places to go to in the world, who would come to Bodine? So, what are you, like, alternative now?
Alternative to what?
What is this?
Roller derby?
Welcome to skate night at the warehouse.
The boys wanna be boys, the girls wanna be boys.
Clean up on aisle five.
I just want to tell you all that you're my new heroes. Well, put some skates on, be your own hero.
Now, you didn't see this, even though it was
in
Austin.
I didn't. It screened here in Austin, but it was during Fantastic Fest, so I kind of missed that.
There are no monsters or violence and sex in this movie. So.
Right. Well, there's violence, it would appear. The Alamo Drafthouse makes a cameo.
There is a scene in the Alamo Drafthouse. Yes, there is.
Which is very cool. Yeah. But no, I did not see this. I'm going to take my lady, though. We're going to go see it at some point, probably this weekend.
Is she
going to
wear fishnets and a miniskirt and run around on roller skates?
I certainly hope so.
You should push for that.
Yeah.
You should be like, it's like a Rocky Horror Picture Show. You got to dress up. No, seriously.
Seriously, honey. In order to see this movie, you need to wear fishnets and a miniskirt and roller skates.
Pictures.
That's the after the movie plan.
Ooh, there you go. It's directed by Drew Barrymore, and mm-hmm. I was dreading it. It looked absolutely awful from the trailers, but it's not bad. It's a sweet movie. It's a cute movie. I mean, it's not awesome, but it's cute. And Ellen Page, she does a good job, and she's not Juno in it, which is nice, because there's such a temptation to have her as the wisecracking high school girl, and she's just a girl in the movie. Like I said, it's cute. Marsha Gay Harden does a good job. Daniel Stern does a good job. Drew Barrymore puts herself in the movie, which is a big mistake because it's so hard for it's so you could tell she's directing it because it's it's like when she's on, it's like spotlight Drew Barrymore and then everybody else, you know. So
interesting.
It's not perfect, but hey, it's you know. Maybe it was also because the Ohio Roller Girls were at the screening that I went to.
Oh, very cool.
Though that's the roller derby team from Columbus, by the way.
Yes, very cool.
Which I may have to go. Nice. I may have to go see a match. I can't go see their one match that's coming up because it's the same weekend as the Horror Marathon.
Oh, I see. I'm actually thinking about going to see the Texas Roller Derby Girls. I heard it's pretty fun.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah, I heard it's a blasty.
A blasty?
Anyway, what's your grade on Whip It?
It kind of rocks.
Kind of rocks. Whipping it good. Next up, finally, is Zombieland. People in a post-apocalyptic world killing zombies.
Welcome to Zombieland. It's like a greatest hits collection of nightmares.
I'm not easy to get along with. And I'm sensing you're a bit of a wuss.
We're actually one of the few non-zombies left because we always play it safe.
My mother always told me, someday you'll be good at something. I don't think she could have guessed that something would be zombie killing.
No, I saw this one at Fantastic Fest. Yes. It was the first movie I saw at Fantastic Fest. And it was a crap load of fun.
Wow.
And I say that in the most family-friendly way. It's actually a very, very funny film. Kind of reminiscent of Shaun of the Dead, but more American.
Shaun of the Dead meets Titanic.
More Jesse Eisenberg-y. But I will say this. Woody Harrelson is fantastic as a zombie-killing redneck.
Isn't he named Tallahassee? Aren't they all named after cities?
They're named after states. Jesse Eisenberg's character is Columbus because he's from Columbus, Ohio.
Which is not a state.
Which is not a state, but his name is Columbus. Well, cities are states. Tallahassee is a city. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that, but it's not a state. Okay. You're the one who said states.
Cities.
Who's
they're named
after
cities.
Is there anybody named Montana? Hannah Montana? Is she in this movie?
No. This movie is a blast from top to bottom. It has probably one of the best cameos you're going to see all year, but I'm not going to spoil it because it's too good. I say totally rocks.
All right. Well, we'll probably talk a little more about Zombieland in the next segment.
All right.
Miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And welcome back to Fat Guys at the Movies. You were talking about Zombieland, and we may talk about it a little bit later. Tease, tease.
I will.
Oh, spoiler. But I wanted to mention something about Zombieland. It dovetails into something that I'm doing, and if those of you who follow me on Twitter, at Kevin Carr, you have heard that I am planning on watching at least one horror movie every day of October in honor of Halloween, because, you know, October is horror movie month, basically.
Right. Well, and actually, it's a perfect tie-in.
Yes, well, you do your tie-in, too.
Because we're doing Film School Rejects is, once again, the second annual 31 Days of Horror, where we post a review of sorts, a nice, clever little article about a horror movie every day. And we've picked 31 brand new titles. We're not reusing anything from last year. So.
Oh, good, good, good.
It's gonna be
saw the Dog Soldiers kicks
Dog
it
Soldiers
off.
was the kickoff. So yeah. We're very excited about that. I think everybody loves horror movies. So.
Yeah. Well, this for Except me was for me. I love horror movies, and I'm doing the one a day myself, and I've gotten some good feedback on it. But the reason I did it partially is because, unlike last year, which had only Saw and the Wreck remake, what was that? The Quarantine?
Quarantine.
Those were the only two horror movies that were actually released in October last year. I remember everything was like in August. But this year, there's like, you know, six or so. I mean, it's like every weekend there's a horror movie. You got Zombieland, then you got Paranormal Activity rolling around. You got Night of the Demons remake. You got Stepfather. You got Saw 6. You got Halloween 2 they're going to re-release, which is dumb, but it's going to happen. You know, and then I've got a stack of horror movies I got to review on DVD, and I'm like, you know what? This will be an excuse to actually sit down and watch them. So I populated my list with all the stuff I have to watch, and then I, you know, sent out some feelers, and I got some people, you know, of course, suggesting movies that I've already seen, like The Thing, which I love The Thing, but I'm probably not going to make that one of my thing just because I've seen it enough.
Right.
And I'll be seeing it at the Horror Marathon in Columbus on the 17th and 18th.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So I on Fat Guys at the Movies, I will put up a list to let you know what the movies are, because I've had some people ask.
Yeah.
And if you have suggestions, let me know. And I mean, don't tell me to go see Friday the 13th because I've already seen it. But if you got something different, something new, it'd be like, go see, like, I've never seen Audition. Audition's going to be on the list.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so.
It's coming out on Blu-ray here, I think, in the next week or so.
Like next week? Yeah.
Cool.
And another one I'm going to check, somebody suggested I see The Gate, which I never saw when it came out initially. And I'm like, why not?
Right. I'm actually thinking about doing something similar, where I watch a movie, just not necessarily horror, but a movie that I've never seen, one a day for 30 days or 31 days.
Yeah, and I mean, if this does well, if I get, you know, if I have fun and I enjoy it, I might do something like maybe work my way through the AFI 100 list or something like that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So
sweet, man. Well, we'll look forward to that on Twitter. I'll look forward to that clogging up my Twitter feed.
Exactly.
Like you normally do.
Oh, I'll live tweet the ones I can.
Oh, I'm sure.
So you're gonna love that.
Moving on. Can we move on to box office now?
No.
Is it time for that?
No.
It's not time for that yet?
Now we can.
All right, cool. Anyways, last weekend it was cloudy once again. Cloudy with a chance of meatballs.
You know,
finished number one.
I seem to recall one of us predicted that.
Yeah, you predicted it. It's okay.
Yes.
I predicted Fame. Fame finished third with $10 million. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs finished at number one with $25 million. The Surrogates finished second with $14 million. Pandorum was the other big release. It finished sixth with $4 million.
And congratulations.
Movie.
Well, and congratulations to Megan Fox for staying in the top 10 for a second week in a row.
Oh, where Jennifer's Body finished eighth. Just kind of barely snuck in.
Anyways.
Yeah.
I wasn't terribly surprised. I don't think Disney had a whole lot of a whole lot of confidence behind Surrogates. They did limited screenings of it. But I thought it was a decent movie. I actually went and saw it. And, you know, I thought what was really neat about it is it kind of has this message of, well, you know, you it's sort of like did you see the World of Warcraft Make Love Not Warcraft episode of South Park?
Yes.
We're sort of like the thing is like, well, you know, I'll hear these people are on these big adventures, but they're just fat kids sitting at home on their computers.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's basically what the surrogates is about. It's sort of an allegory of social networking sites where people just sit at home and don't bathe and don't do any sort of exercise, yet they're in all these interactions on a virtual world, and that's kind of what surrogates is about, and it's, you know, the taken to the nth degree where you can control people. But what's funny about it is what after I saw it, I tweeted out, I pulled out my iPhone and I after was credits were rolling, I tweeted out, I really like this. Then I go, is it ironic that I used a social networking site to praise surrogates?
Interesting.
Yeah, you don't care.
I don't.
Right. What do you think's gonna win this weekend?
This weekend's, you know what? You got Zombieland coming out this week, which I think is getting some really good marketing, and it's also going to get some really good buzz because it's a really awesome movie. And I think people are kind of itching for a good horror movie. The last couple have been, like Pandorum, I guess, is kind of a horror sci-fi.
It was okay, but it did,
and did not do very well. It was a creature. It was a creature feature, so there's kind of a horror element there to it.
It's sort of a creature feature, but it's also it seems like a direct-to-video movie. Really, it did.
Right, and then obviously Halloween 2 was kind of a mess. So well, I think Zombieland's going to win the weekend.
Zombieland's got the widest release.
Right, you've also got Whippet expanding.
Yeah, I mean Whippet, yeah, is going, but I don't think Whippet's a mainstream enough movie. Toy Story 1 and 2 is going to be cool, but it's in limited release, being relatively limited in the 3D features. And then Capitalism, A Love Story, is only in 1,000 theaters, so it's not a super wide release.
Yeah, I don't think
it's going to do very well. And if and, you know, Fahrenheit 9/11 was an anomaly. It was a real popular one. Whereas like Sicko, when Sicko came out, it did well for a documentary, but not, you know, I don't think it's going to have this wide appeal.
Yeah, so. And you know, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if like the Toy Story, the double feature sneaks into the top five.
I wouldn't be surprised if Toy Story, the Toy Story double feature was in the second or third spot, because it's replacing almost all of the cloudy 3D theaters.
Yeah, so I think it'll do well, especially in 3D.
Yeah,
theaters.
Yeah, well, it's not going into anything but 3D.
1600 screens, but I think it's going to make some money because I think people really are going to want to see Toy Story again.
Yeah.
So, very cool. So that's the box office.
Let's throw it on a Fat Guy 5.
Yes, Fat Guy 5 this week. I'm very excited to bring you the Fat Guy 5 of my favorite movies of Fantastic Fest. And in fact, four of these are mine, one of which is from Rob Hunter, who has been very intrepid in his movie watching here at Fantastic Fest.
Rob Skirt Chaser Hunter,
Plaid Skirt Chaser Hunter. He's been all over Fantastic Fest, and he's seen a lot of the movies that I have not seen. And he loved the number five film on my list, which is Breathless. It is a movie from Japan, Korea. It's a Korean film.
Are you accessing long-term memory? Are you asking Rob Skirt Chaser Hunter in the room?
I'm asking. Rob's in the room. I'm asking him. It's about a gangster. It's a gangster movie. It's a gangster movie.
A gangster movie the way Gozu is a gangster movie? Because that's not much of a gangster.
No, it's a real gangster movie. It's very violent, very chaotic, very crazy, very brutal, very funny. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly tender and powerful as well, says Rob Hunter. So Breathless, very cool. I'm sure that'll hit DVD sometime in 2012. Then number four on my list is Trick or Treat, the long-awaited horror film from Mike Dougherty. It's been it's been treading water for about 3 years. And this is when it stars Anna Paquin, Tamo Pinkett from Battlestar Galactica, Leslie Bibb, Brian Cox. You've heard of this, right? Trick or Treat.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's heard of Trick or Treat. It's fantastic.
The guy's from Columbus.
Yeah. To me, it's set in Ohio, oddly enough. Warren Valley, Ohio, which I don't even know if that exists, but it probably does.
Probably. It'd be up near Youngstown.
He's from Columbus. I met him. I should have said something.
Yeah. Didn't he write X-Men 2? He's the guy.
Mike Dougherty. Anyway, Great movie. It feels like, you know, this kind of stories you tell around a campfire, you know, those like scary Halloweenish story. It feels like a set of like four camp stories come to life.
So it's like all those anthology movies from the 80s, only really good.
Yeah, and the stories are all weaved together very creatively, and it's an incredibly great feature, and I was just blown away, and so it's coming out on DVD, I think next week, so you should absolutely go buy it. Don't even wait for us to tell you next week that you should buy it. Number three is Zombieland, which I mentioned earlier, which I loved. It was very Shaun of the Dead, a little bit of, a little bit more American humor, but yeah. Very funny, very bloody, very silly at times. Emma Stone is in it. She's pretty awesome. So,
yeah.
Number two is Solomon Kane. It's a British adaptation of a very popular book about Solomon Kane. It's about this guy who...
Shouldn't you be saying it like in a British accent? If it's British, you should do it in...
It's very British.
The next film, Governor, is Solomon Kane.
It's kind of a low-budget film that feels about 100 times bigger than it should have. Because it's got this kind of very epic... It's just this very epic medieval, sword and shield movie, essentially.
Sword and shield movie.
But it's set in the Dark Ages in the 1600s, the 1400s. I'm sorry, I'm getting updates.
Do you even know anything about this?
You're just the 1400s. It's about this guy who's very, very bad. He steals money. He raids castles in Africa. And the devil.
It sounds like you're like explaining it to a 3-year-old. It's about a very bad man.
It's a very bad man. The devil comes for his soul. So it then becomes about him running from the devil and becoming a man of peace. And then, of course, his peacefulness is interrupted when he meets a girl who is captured by an evil guy. And then he has to go defeat the bad guy. It's really awesome. It's got some wicked action in it. All right?
You could have done a better job and summarized this up with liturgical dance, I think.
Oh, jeez. It's been a long week, all right? It's been a really long week.
What's your fifth one?
My number one is Marin Tao. It's this Indonesian martial arts movie. It's very Tony Jaa-esque. In this, the young star is fantastic.
Which is good.
It's a coming of age story that also includes some sex trafficking, I guess. Oh. Which I think every martial arts movie I've seen this week has had some kind of sex trafficking in it. Because I guess that's all that happens over there.
What did Rob Hunter think of this movie?
I don't think he's seen it, but you know what? It's a kick ass movie. Like it's a slow starter, but the last like 25 minutes of this movie is just one big awesome fight scene. So okay. I liked it a lot. I'm a big martial arts film fan. So
yes, because those who can't do, watch on.
Oh, totally. Anyway, that said, we'll be back to wrap you up in a minute. And we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys at the Movies. We've gone through my awful descriptions of the Fantastic Beasts. I promise those movies are way better than I made them sound.
Well, thank you for being honest.
It's been a long week. I'm very tired. Yeah. It's been a long, stressful week of covering a huge film festival. If you read filmschoolrejects.com, you'll notice that we have covered the ever-loving crap out of Fantastic Fest. Yes, so
there's a lot of crap to cover.
Very proud of the Fantastic Fest Death Squad myself. Not included, but Cole Obias, Rob Hunter, Landon Palmer, and Brian Salisbury. So they've done a great job. Also, the lovely Bethany Perryman, our sex columnist, for trafficking journalists from Reject HQ to Fantastic Fest.
Did you all shower for her as she requested last week?
We kept it pretty clean here, relatively clean. Everybody stayed fairly showered-ish.
That doesn't sound good. I'll have to ask Bethany off the record sometime.
Yeah, you'll have to ask her at a different date. I'm sure her answer is going to be way different. So all right. So let's finish this thing here,
Poppy.
And we'll do as we always do, the world famous DVD roundup. And we'll start. I'll start
in honor of
Whip
It.
I did
a whip noise.
In honor of nice. I will start because my list is short.
Yes.
And these are all Blu-ray titles. I would suggest them all on Blu-ray because they're all really great on Blu-ray. Away We Go, the Sam Mendes directed, John Krasinski and Maya Rudolph starring story of adult love and marriage and having a baby and, you know, having real problems. It's a very honest.
You described that about as well
on
as
an adult
you,
relationship.
Yeah, you described that about as well as you did that Fantastic Fest movie.
Anyway, it's a really, really sweet and funny film.
It's a nice movie. Actually, I have to say I watched it, and I was very impressed with it. I was impressed with Maya Rudolph because I never liked her on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, she did extremely good.
Yeah, she did a good job. And what's funny is some of the criticism this movie's gotten is that the main characters are kind of tools. But
yeah,
you know what? Even as annoying as they can be sometimes, the people they meet are even way wackier.
I think that's what makes it work
so
well.
No strollers.
Then I've also got on my list Monsters vs. Aliens, which I had a lot of fun with, specifically with the Stephen Colbert as the President of the United States character. That was a lot of fun.
Well, and the packaging comes with a Bob's Big Break, an extra Bob video.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
And then two classics hitting Blu-ray this week, Labyrinth and The Dark Crystal. I suggest getting both of them and watching them as a double feature.
You remind me of the... Girl, what's the line from Labyrinth?
You
remind me of the Babe.
David Bowie's line.
You remind me of the Babe.
Oh, I love that movie.
Oh wow,
it's like one of my mom's favorite movies as well. And Gerard Butler's not.
He's nowhere near it.
Makes it more amazing. So,
should I ramble through my list of?
I'm done. I just had the four.
My whoring out to the publicist.
Let's see what Kevin got this week.
The Unit season 4. I sort of, you know, it's. I guess it's the end of the series. That's there. How I Met Your Mother, which actually is a pretty funny show. They only sent me one disc from it, so I can only sample like 8 episodes. But it's not a bad show. It's a little bit of a rough start. You kind of have to get into the show before you really can enjoy it. I
see. How I Met Your Mother is really, it's fun. I've watched a couple episodes and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and The Hills Run Red, that's a horror movie that's out. That's on my list of stuff to watch. I've held it back to watch during my 31 horror movies of October. The Wizard of Oz is out on like a platinum edition. It's like a four disc set for special edition. There's also a Blu-ray.
Box. There's like that box set that comes out. It's like, oh, it's awesome. I might be buying it as a gift for somebody in my household.
Yeah, it's a big deal. And if you just want to go light, you can go get just the 2-disc DVD.
But why? Why would you?
Get the big money-wise, I guess. BBC Earth is releasing Yellowstone Battle for Life about Yellowstone National Park. I don't know if
I got that. I'm going to check that out.
See, I say, you know, hey, what? So what? We destroy Yellowstone because there's a super volcano under it that's going to blow up in a couple hundred years anyways. That's my thoughts. And then a couple things to the Disney canon. You've got Muppet Christmas, Letters to Santa, and Winnie the Pooh, The Spirit of Giving, which is in a deluxe 10-year anniversary set. There's also Life on Mars, the TV show, which is an okay show about a guy who travels back in time 30 years to the 1970s and had the worst ending ever. But the series isn't bad. The ending's awful, but the series isn't bad.
Nice.
And then we got two stinkers because we had a fight over who gets what. Do you want to do yours first?
Mine is the Cagney and Lacey one. Cagney and Lacey, the menopause years. Yeah. Just for fun.
I couldn't call that a stinker because I think just calling it the menopause years is awesome.
It wins points.
Yeah. It's, my stinker of the week is The Girlfriend Experience. Even though I haven't seen it, if I'm going to watch a movie with Sasha Grey, I'm not going to get one that you can rent at Blockbuster.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. That's all I got to say about that.
Nice. Boop. Sweet, dude.
Review wrap up.
Review wrap up time. We saw this week. We started with Toy Story, which I said totally rocks.
Yes.
Go see it.
Yeah.
Then we had The Invention of Lying, which you saw.
No, I didn't.
Know. Nobody saw it. It's Preemptive Suck.
Preemptive Suck.
We also had Capitalism Love Story, which Kevin saw.
Sucked.
And said it sucked. He doesn't like socialism. No, he's Whip It, which you saw.
Yeah, and I said it kind of rocked, actually.
And Zombieland, which I didn't actually rate. I say totally rocks. Zombieland is the must-see of the weekend.
Not Toy Story?
Well, Zombieland and Toy Story. I say do triple feature. Next week, we've got Couples Retreat and Night of the Demons, I believe.
Allegedly, that's supposed to come out.
Allegedly. In between now and then, if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can catch us over at fatguysatthemovies.com. You can get us on iTunes. Just search Fat Guys at the Movies. You can email us, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 614-388-8735. And if you come back next week and listen to us, I assure you that I will be A, funnier, and B, understand what movies I'm talking about.
Yeah, there you go. I expect that to happen.
All right, let's do this shit. Oh, you fucked up.